Good morning. Happy Easter. Whatever brings you here today, costume, crisis, or curiosity, you are welcome. God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here. Peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. I'm so sorry for being so emotional. Today's the 5th anniversary of my heart transplant. Thank you. Anyways, it's a great day today, and I'm so glad to share it with all of you. If you're new to us this morning, we're glad that you're here, and we hope that you grab one of these brochures on your way out. It tells you a little bit about us and what we have to offer. If you're looking at your bulletin, you'll find this yellow slip. It serves two purposes. One is for attendance, just so that we know that you're here and we can greet you. And the other is if you have a prayer request this morning and you want to share it with the congregation, you can fill this out and we'll let you know when the ushers are going to come forward and collect it, and then we'll read it aloud right before prayer time. I mentioned your bulletin. That's actually a brief order of worship. You'll also find that on the screen in front. But if you'd like a more complete order, there's a QR code in the back of the bulletin, and you can scan that if you have a smartphone, and it'll give you a more detailed description of what we're doing this morning. If you're in need of childcare or restrooms, you can find both out this door, or you can ask one of the ushers, and they'd be glad to show you where you need to go. In the gathering room after the service, we'll have some conversation and coffee, so you're welcome to join us for that. And also a reminder that we have a safe sanctuary policy, so we encourage all parents to have one adult with their children at all times. There's so much to do in our life as a church. You can look in your bulletin for some announcements pertaining to that, but I'd like to call your special attention to a few that aren't in the bulletin. First, this beautiful display, all these flowers, they need to go home with some people. So if Bobby left a message on your answering machine, or if you talked to her earlier this week or yesterday, please come up and grab one of the flowers on your way out and deliver it to whoever it needs to go to. It'll be a great gift. Next Saturday is Earth Day. It's going to be from 9 to 12 in the morning. It'll be right here, and we have a large area to clean up. So if you're available and willing to help us with that, please call Mary in the church office, and she'll sign your name up, and we have all the supplies ready for you, and we'll be ready to go at 9. Next Sunday, the Eastern Farm Workers will be here selling tickets for their fundraiser. The fundraiser is a barbecue dinner, which sounds really good. Tickets cost $5 for children and $10 for adults, and the fundraiser is actually May 3rd, and they'll be here doing that on May 3rd, so come prepared with your money next week. Also, in your bulletin, you'll find an announcement for the Q&A session for the Holy Land tour. That information session is April 24th, so if you're interested in that and you want to hear more about it, please come over May 24th, and we'll give you some more info. And now let us continue our time of worship.
Pastor Alicia Wood, I am the pastor here, and I'm so honored to be the pastor here and to welcome each of you here today. So, happy Easter. Why Easter? What's behind the jelly beans, the Easter eggs, the dress-up clothes? Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice. He laid down his life for his friends. He presented himself to the authorities and was crucified. Not because of a wrong he had done, but because the world needed to know a better way to live. some of the kindest souls I have ever known. In the world, we're some of the best human beings I know have been through so much at the hands of others, and they still love deeply. They still care. Sometimes it's the people who have been hurt the most who refuse to be the hardened in this world, because they would never want another person to feel the way they have felt. If that isn't something to be in awe of, I don't know what is. And so, we are in awe of Jesus, mocked, whipped, abandoned, and murdered. Because despite all that, he came back and said, "I love you anyway and always."
Alleluia. My name is Dale Fryer, or Mr. Dale, as my preschoolers call me, and I will be your liturgist this morning, and I also am in the choir, and the choir is up in the loft, so sometimes you will hear me, but you won't see me this morning. The song of triumph has begun. Please stand in body or in spirit and join me in the call to worship. Early in the morning, we come to you, Lord. This morning, we want to follow the women to the tomb. And we want to leave here bursting with good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people.
Boasting grave, has led. Alleluia. Following our exalted head. Alleluia. Made like him we rise. Alleluia. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Alleluia.
Please remain standing and welcome those around you with the peace of the risen Christ by a handshake or a hug or a high five. When you hear the music, it's time to return to your seats and sing the children down to children's time.
Will the children please come forward as they're comfortable?
Alle, alle, alleluia. Alle, alle, alleluia. Alle, alle, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Alle, alle, alleluia. Alle, alle, alleluia. Hallelujah, halle, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Good morning, children. How are you? Come on down, you can fit. Come on. You need to see what's going to happen down here. Do you want to stand with me as well? You could stand with me. Okay, so who has ever seen one of these? Do you know what this is? It's not a jelly bean, that's a good guess. It's not medicine, that's a good guess. It's not a pill, that's a good guess. Oh, I forgot to use this. Yeah.
It's kind of like a, like, a sponge?
There's something inside that is like a sponge.
Oh, like, it's red, like, it's
yeah.
Like a, like, when it starts in a pill, like, a pill kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then when it touches water and you need to wait for a few minutes, it will grow and it will turn into something.
All right. So what do you think this might be? Why don't you come on down and stand with me? You can jump. What do you think it's going to turn into? What do you think?
A giraffe.
A giraffe? That's a good guess. A seahorse? That's a good guess.
An Easter bunny?
That's a good guess. Let's find out. A jelly bean? That's a good guess. Let's see.
A duck?
A duck? That's possible.
It's a glove. A glove.
A what? A glove? It does look like a glove right now, doesn't it? It looks like a piece of corn right now. It sure does. Do you guys want to come down who can't see? You're welcome to. Let's see what happens. So it started out looking like this, like medicine or a pill or a capsule. And it's going to turn into something else with water. Oh, it's starting to turn into something. It looks like a what?
A penguin.
A penguin, it does so far. It does look like a penguin so far. So this is what happened between Good Friday and Jesus' death and Sunday, Easter morning, Jesus' resurrection. Jesus was resurrected into something totally new and different than what he was before. And I thought that we would see how this goes. I'm going to help it along. What is it now? I don't know yet. Maybe a butterfly? A what? A tree or a treat?
Wait, I'm guessing a butterfly.
Let's see. What is it? It looks like a bat. It's actually a bunny. It's a bunny rabbit. Do you see the ears? Hi, you want to see it too? So as we talk about Easter and Easter eggs and Easter baskets and all the things go into Easter, let's remember Jesus and how Jesus turned his something brand new on Easter Sunday. See, it looks. Have you seen these before? Have you made them before? All right, will you pray with me? Loving God, we come to you with our minds in awe of what you do and how you do it. And we come in awe that in this holy Saturday that of darkness, that on Easter morning you come to us anew, ready to ignite us into something that we can't even imagine. So be with us on our journey this year of resurrection. Amen. Okay, so you can go sit with whoever brought you today. I don't have enough for everybody, or I would share, yeah.
Yeah.
The Easter story gets underway as the women prepare for one final expression of love. Imagine, as the sun creeps over the horizon, you have come to anoint the friend you have lost. One last sad act of kindness to the most beautiful and giving person you knew. Suddenly, nothing is as you expected. Hear these words from the 20th chapter of John, the first 18 verses. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. They saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. They saw and believed, but they did not yet understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amazing amazement, shock, disbelief, all rolled into one. Imagine how the women felt carrying the message. Please stand as you are able and join me in singing hymn number 317, "Christ is Alive."
Please be seated. Good morning again. So leading up to today, I really wasn't in the mood to preach or talk on Easter because I feel as though our denomination and our country are stuck on Holy Saturday. We are stuck in darkness and uncertainty. Since the special general session in February, the United Methodist Church feels different. It seems all voices are not valued. The other is judged. So as I was thinking and praying about what to talk about on Easter, I thought, what is there to be hopeful for? This is not what I've been praying for. This is not even what I signed up for. Life was supposed to be different. Does anyone else feel this way? Have you ever experienced a dark time in your life? Have you ever been held hostage to negativity running through your head? Have you ever woken up in anger or grief or frustration, spent the entire day in that space? And then when you went to lay down, you tried to push it away, but all you had was grief or anger or frustration running in your head over and over and over. Maybe this feeling lasted a day. Maybe it lasted a week. Or maybe it even lasted a month. Our Lenten study group read the book Interruptions by Jacob Armstrong. The book begins by sharing how Jesus was interrupted time and time again, but used the interruptions as teachable moments. Then the book continues by reminding us how Jesus has interrupted our lives. And later this morning, we will see a video of our friend Cindy, and we'll learn how her life was interrupted by our sign on East Genesee Street. It seems we have interruptions every day, don't we? Finally, the book tells us how we are to be interrupters like Jesus. Make moments to share God's love through outreach and seeking justice in our neighborhoods. Each morning, I read Richard Rohr's daily meditations from the Center of Action and Contemplation. And I'd like to read to you what the Thursday devotion was, in which Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossman continued reflecting on the meaning of Jesus' death. And this is how it went. Jesus was not simply an unfortunate victim of domination system's brutality. He was also a protagonist filled with passion. His passion, his message, was about the kingdom of God. He spoke to peasants as a voice of peasant religious protest against the central economic and political institutions of his day. He attracted a following and took his movement to Jerusalem at the season of Passover. There he challenged the authorities with public acts and public debates. All of this was his passion, what he was passionate about. God and the kingdom of God. God and God's passion for justice. So let's frame our Easter Sunday in that. My prayer is that we continue Jesus' passion for justice as interrupters. As we leave this place on Easter, the day when things are made new, let us be ready to interrupt what our common culture thinks of a Christian. In my opinion, the name Christian has been hijacked by a group of Christians who believe Christianity is about judgment and exclusion. I believe we are here to be interrupters and prove through our actions to our neighbors near and far that Christians are about love and inclusion. Christians are about caring in real life actions for the poor and the oppressed. clothing the naked, caring for the sick, feeding the hunger, welcoming the stranger, sharing a smile or a hug with someone who is feeling down, but not stopping there. We are to do all of these things. Jesus tells us very clearly in Matthew 25. But we are also to ask why. Why are our neighbors hungry, thirsty, sick, unclothed, unhoused, feeling low or excluded by society, or even worse, by their church? Christians are to be asking why. Why are people going to the ER for something as simple as strep throat? Why are children in cages? Why are we ignoring the cries of our earth? Why are LGBTQ youth attempting suicide at 5 times the rate of heterosexual youth? Why are people going hungry? Why is 10% of the children in the city of Syracuse homeless? Why are our elders choosing between prescription drugs and a meal? Why are our jails filled to the brim with corporations making a profit? And what are we going to do about it? I was not feeling like talking about hope in the resurrection of Jesus until I heard Bishop Royster speak at the Acts dinner last week, and he reminded me of the scripture in Esther. Perhaps this is the moment for which you have been created. Here's the deal, the bottom line. We were created for this moment. It's no mistake that we are here at this moment in time. We were made to bring Christ back into Christian. We were made to claim Christian as love, loving, love inclusive of all people. We were made to reach out to the poor and the oppressed in love and service, seeking justice. We were created for this moment in time, but we were not made to do the work alone. We need each other here to play our part in this transformation. We need all of us to claim Jesus' unending love and reclaim the name Christian. We learn in this scripture from John today that Mary knows Jesus' voice. He is interrupting her once again. He knows when he says her name, all will become clear to her. She will understand what is incomprehensible. Isaiah 45 says, God calls us each by name. The question is, when you are interrupted and hear your name spoken, what will you do about it? Through Jesus' death and resurrection, through the angst and lament of Holy Saturday to the joy of Easter morning, he has reminded us again that we can go through dark times. In our darkness, God is always with us. Psalm 139 so beautifully describes this. And on Easter, Jesus reminds us of the new life we can find when we open up the tomb of grief, of pain, of anger, of frustration to a new life, a new thing, a new way of being we never could have imagined or dreamed up. Maybe even something incomprehensible. Let us remember in these times of darkness Jesus' passion for justice, so that we continue to reach out to the poor and the oppressed and ask why, so that the darkness is lifted and change happens. Our call as Christ followers is to interrupt and reclaim the name Christian in love and justice. We were created for a moment like this. We will hear our name spoken as Mary did. We are called to love greater and deeper than we think possible. So today, I am hopeful once again. Resurrection reminds us that in the end, love wins. Amen.
We have come to church today as an affirmation of who we are and what we believe. Our affirmation today that we invite you to share is called "The Kind of Christian I Refuse to Be" by John Pavlovitz, and it leaves little doubt. I am a Christian. Actually, it's more accurate lately to say that I am still a Christian. I say this now with some trepidation. I say it with great fatigue. I say it somewhat begrudgingly. For far too many people, being a Christian no longer means being humble, or forgiving, or service, or healing. It no longer requires compassion or mercy, or turning the other cheek, or loving your enemies or your neighbor as yourself. It no longer requires Jesus. Yes, I am a Christian, but there is a Christian I refuse to be. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in this affirmation. I refuse to be a Christian I refuse to be a Christian I refuse to be a Christian I refuse to be a Christian. 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 Yes. It is much more difficult to say it these days than it has ever been, but we still do say it. We are still Christians, but we refuse to be Christians without Jesus. Please be seated. As we transition to a time of prayer, feel free to join me in singing our call to prayer that we've been listening to throughout Lent. And as we sing together, the ushers will collect your prayer slips to be read aloud. Silence is a friend who claims us, cools the heat and slows the pace. God it is who speaks and names us, knows our being, touches base, making space within our thinking, lifting shades to show the sun, raising courage when we're shrinking, finding scope for faith begun. As we continue in our time of prayer, we will have a period of silent prayer followed by a spoken prayer and then the Lord's Prayer. And during the Lord's Prayer, please speak that in any language or way that you feel most close to God. So I invite you now to be comfortable in your seat. Take a deep breath in. Let it out slowly. Just breathe and fill your consciousness with the sound only of your breath, opening your heart to God. Let us pray. Listen now to these words of prayer written by Carol Penner. Holy Jesus, you come to meet us in humble ways. You meet us in the lengthening of the light. You meet us in the fragrance of the earth melting. You meet us in the delicate petals of the first yellow crocus blossom. You meet us in the first bee we see. This year we will look for little signs of life, not passing them by, but stopping and giving thanks for your presence in the beauty of our world. Your holy presence is all around us. Thank you for this congregation gathered to worship and for the way you have shaped us into loving, supportive community, reaching out to those in need. Thank you for showing us the joy of losing ourselves and finding your strength. We need strength this week to love our families, to be kind at work, even when we are tired, and to give to our community, even when we feel we have nothing left to give. We come to you in humility because we are not a perfect people. We know what's right and we would like to do it, but we feel that road is too hard and often too costly. Forgive us for cheering you on your lonely road while we take the easy way. We love a humble Savior riding a donkey, but we want the best things and honor without responsibility. Today we pray for all who are tempted by power, for our political leaders with many followers who will do anything to stay popular, for those with great financial resources who only want to use it for themselves, and for those with power over vulnerable people who hurt those in their care. You know how each one of us is being tempted in our own life. In this moment of silence, we meet you at our own crossroads. We feel your great tender love for us and listen to your voice. Thank you that you don't just show us the way. You are the way, and you empower us to follow you. We follow you together with hosannas in our hearts. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Join me now in the Lord's Prayer. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. What does it mean for God's kingdom, a place where all are kin or family, to come on earth as it is in heaven? When Cindy arrived in Syracuse, she had lost all hope.
So how has this church affected your life?
Well, I guess I'll start with, I moved to the neighborhood about 5 years ago. I was at a really low point in my life. I had just lost my son 6 months prior. I was just on a road of no return. I didn't see light. All I saw was darkness. And I was drinking heavily. That was my outlet. All negative, of course. Broken relationships. relationships, in and out of intimate ones, with one person, but back and forth. One day, I don't know, I was out walking my little dog. I came across the church at Genesee and University. We stopped, like, and it, something just drew me, the structure of the church or something just drew me to it. I was reading the sign out front for the hours of worship, and there was a quote at the bottom, drew me there, and I was fixed on it for a couple of minutes, and then I was like, wow, you know, and I went back home. I finished my walk and went back home, but something stuck with me about the 11:30 service. It was the caption at the bottom of the hour. So I visited, and I needed that sermon that day. For some reason, I was really down and out. I started coming sporadically, I not as often, but I was popping. And each time, I got something fulfilling. From one day, I was really down and out, and I said, I got to get to church. And they had a little slip, and it asked you your needs, and it asked if you need to speak to the pastor. And I was like, yes, I do. I finally got an appointment, and I found it strange that I was able to really open up, because I'm not one to just, you know, open up about my past or what's going on with me. I'm a very introvert type person. I just keep everything inside. I don't share. You know, I was seeing therapists and a psychiatrist, but I wasn't getting anything from that. Well, the pastor, she let me talk about all of that. She didn't say much. If anything, she just wanted to listen. And that's what I needed, someone to just listen, you know, because when you go to therapists, they ask you questions, and it's like you can't get out what you want to say for yourself. But this woman, Pastor Alicia, just let me talk, and I found that it was just like weights off my shoulder. Weights off my shoulder.
Thank you, Cindy, for sharing your story. There is so much more to her story, and we will hear the rest of it next week. So be sure to be here to hear the rest of the story. Lives are being changed here every day. We heard that. We open our doors to every person. All are truly welcome. Our family has been gathering here at this place for 150 years, and now you are a part of this living tradition. Giving is a way that we recognize the source of all we have and a way that we keep the family healthy. Don't forget to put your yellow attendance slip into the plate as it passes by. The ushers will now collect our offering.
Find all glory.
Please remain standing. God blesses our community through the work of our hands and the love of our hearts. We dedicate our gifts today with the poem, Easter, A Prayer of Blessing, by Beth Richardson. Bless this day when light returns, love astounds, life prevails. Bless the young ones and the old. Bless the enemies and those despised. God makes a way where there is no way. Christ has arisen. Alleluia. Bless us all worshiping together here today. We go out from this place fueled by resurrection inspiration to be a blessing in our community and the world. Please remain standing as we sing together our closing hymn, Christ Has Arisen, displayed on the screen.
Christ has arisen while earth slumbers. Christ has arisen where hope died. As he said and as he promised, as we doubted and denied, let the moon embrace the blessing, let the sun sustain the cheer, let the world confirm the rumor, Christ is risen, God is here. Christ has risen for the people whom he died to love and save. Christ has risen for the women bringing flowers to his grave. All those lies are messed up.
We have a tradition here at University United Methodist Church of performing Handel's Hallelujah Chorus on Easter Sunday. So at this time, we would like to invite those of you who know the piece, and I know there's many of you out there from last year's celebration, please come down and join us. We have music for you. We have signs for your soprano, alto, tenor, or bass section, and Peter is holding music over here and Sheila over here. Please come join us. So as we get ready for our awesome postlude, I will share our blessing of the day. May the peace of God, which exceeds all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.